what's your spiritual journey like? And they're like, well, you know, we go to church, but it's just kind of, we just go, you know, we just don't, we, you know, it's the church that our school, that we send our daughter to, and that's connected to the school that she goes to, so we just go there. And, you know, it's like, the dad, he was like, I went to catechism, all that stuff like that, I went to school, but I gathered from them, they were kind of like just dry, you know, they were just like, we just kind of go to church, we're there, we hear the message, and we pray and stuff, but I don't really feel engaged with God. And the mom, she said, well, you know, I'm exploring yoga, too, like, you know, because yoga is not only an exercise, it's also kind of connected with the faith. You know, she's like, I kind of do yoga and I do meditation like that. That's kind of that's how I get my spiritual input, you know, that's how I connect or something like that. You know, and sometimes, and so I get this feeling from them that they once had, like their daughter was really excited about God. And she would share, she was young, she was Morgan's age, she was like 6 or so, and she'd get really excited about God. But for them, I don't know, somewhere along in their journey, or maybe it's just this season in their life right now, they're just really not engaged with God. They're really just dry. And sometimes I'm like, what happened between, you know, like when they were kids, when they're like their daughter's age, and now? And sometimes when I talk with some of you guys, I feel some of that same dryness sometimes. You know, and sometimes it's seasons in life. Sometimes it's just seasons we go through where it's just dry. Like, I don't know where God is. I can't feel him right now. I can't experience. I don't know what he's doing right now. And other times it's like, man, I don't know if I've ever experienced God. I don't know if I've ever, like, really had this encounter with God where I see him working in my life and I see him working around me, you know? It's like kind of like where is God and how come I can't see him working around me? And frankly, I'm excited for the retreat because I know that, you know, every year we go to the retreat and like we come together, we commune together, like we meet together, we meet with God, and people are like, yes, we love God, we love God, this is so awesome. Can we just stay here? You know, often after every retreat, you know, since the past like 3 years, I always get requests like, can we make the retreat like 5 days, maybe 4 or 5 days, because this is just it's so fun to be here, and so fun to meet with God. But then it's like, what about the rest of the year, right? The retreat is like 3 days, right? But what about the rest of the year? Do we encounter God? Do we experience God the rest of the year, you know? And again, I know there's seasons of life. I can see like towards the end of the year, like towards the end of the school year, people are just running dry. They're just like, you know, I'm just tired. I just want summer, you know. And I've had people share about like, kind of, we had these pictorial cards of like what they would like their summer to be, and everyone picked a picture of like something really joyful and happy. I just want my summer to be restful, happy, casual, fun, you know, like that. But the question is like, how do we experience God? You know, that's what I want us to think about this summer, is how do we experience God? How do we encounter him and actually see his work and know what he's doing? And so, I don't know, I can think of maybe just one, maybe two people in this room that have ever gone through this book. But this book is called Experiencing God. It actually came out quite some time ago, and I think the mid or early 90s, and I went through it in college, and what I'm going to be doing this summer is just kind of walking through this book, okay? So I mean, if you're very curious, if you really want to know, you can pick up a copy, you can order a copy online and read along. But I want to say to you before I get into this is that as I go through this, you know, this, I just want to say that this is not God's word, all right? Like, some people, they read books like this, and I think that these books are helpful, you know, like, to kind of get a perspective. But basically, this book is really talking about this book, right? It's like, this is where it's really at. And what I'm going to be preaching out of is this. But I think that I think this, you know, authors who talk about the Bible, thinkers, theologians who talk about the Bible can be helpful for us, okay? But I do think that we need to, what I like about this book is that it gives us some sense, it gives us some idea of some ways that we can experience God. It's like, hey, here's a pattern, or here's some maybe what we see in the Bible, and here's how we can experience God. So it kind of sets forth some principles, maybe some observations of how we can experience God. But at the same time, we have to be, whenever we go through a book like this, I just want to say we got to always go back to the Bible. You know, we got to always go back to the Bible. And I want to be, in some ways, I want to be critical of this book. And if you do decide to pick up this book, I want you to be critical of the book and always go back to the Word. Because I'd say that if I were to be critical of this book, and what we have to guard ourselves against is that this can oversimplify experiencing God, can oversimplify it. God is knowable, right? He's knowable, but he can't be boxed. One of the things I love about God is he can't be boxed. You can't go, this is how you experience God in this book, right? He can't be packaged, you know? He shows himself in varied ways. So I just want us to be, I'm going to set forth some observations in God's Word. But I just don't want us to, I always want us to like go, hey, this is where it's at. It's not in this book. But here's one of the problems when we are looking to experience God or knowing God's will. Is that I feel like when we're looking, because I hear a lot from people. I hear a lot from people. One of the questions is, how do I know what God wants for me? How do I know what God's will is for my life? In its various forms, I get this question a lot as a pastor. And I think that one of the things that when we're looking for God's will, like, hey, what's God doing? What's God's will? One of the fundamental mistakes that people make is that we start with the wrong question. Okay, we start with the wrong question. Our question typically, when we're looking for what God's will is, like how can I experience God? What is God's will? Our question is something like this. It's like, how can God work in my life? How can God work in my life to help me accomplish what I'm doing? My goals. Kind of like start with a question of like, God, how can you work so you can help me do what I want to do? And fundamentally, that's kind of a wrong question to start with, okay, when we're asking what is God's will. We usually want to experience God by having him do for us something that we want him to do. And so our tendency is to kind of start with us and instead of starting with him. So a better question for us to ask when we're experiencing God or when we want to find out what God's will is, a better question to ask is God, how are you at work? How are you at work? Like, where are you working and how are you working in me, around me? Okay, that's a better question to start with than like, you know, we tend to be like, God, I'm doing this, could you work in this such a way that I can do what I want to do or accomplish what I want to do. One of the verses that was read, if you guys would open your Bibles, we were just there a second ago, but if you'd open your Bibles to John 5. John 5, chapter 5, 16 through 20. And Laura read it, but I'm going to read it again. Says this, John 5, starting verse 16, says, "So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working.' For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. Shows just this Trinity. Jesus gave him this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. And so Laura touched on it a little bit, but the context of this is that there's a man who's been, he was an invalid for 38 years. So I'm assuming that he's been an invalid since he was born. The scripture doesn't really say, but there's a guy who was by the pool, who would always want to get into the pool. People would walk by him. And he calls out to Jesus. Jesus says, Jesus notices him, says, do you want to get well? He says, like, I have no one to help me to get into the pool. And Jesus basically tells him to get up and pick up your mat and walk. And the man gets up, picks up his mat, and walks. But the problem is that this is on Sabbath. So typically, at least, yeah, now it's Sabbath is from Friday sundown. You know, if you don't have any friends who are Jewish, it's Friday sundown through Saturday sundown. And so that's the Sabbath. And so it's the Sabbath time where Jesus does this healing. And that's why people are mad. That's one of the reasons why people are mad. The Jews at the time, maybe the Pharisees, the people around are upset with Jesus because, and this kind of blows my mind in some ways, because Jesus sees this guy who's on his mat and he wants to get into this pool and he notices him. And he tells this guy, like, hey, people standing around, tells him, like, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And people are upset. The weird thing, it just kind of amazes me. It's like, did you just see what happened? Did you just see what the miracle that happened to this guy who's been slaying here for 38 years and unable to walk? And you're concerned that he did this miracle on the Sabbath? Are you kidding me? I mean, what's going on? I mean, it kind of shows how closed their hearts are to what Jesus is doing and the work that he's doing. But it says, but it's interesting what he says. Did you hear what he says in verse 17? What I want to point out to you is in verse 17, Jesus said to them, hey, look, my Father is always at his work to this very day. And I too am at work. My Father is always at work. And I, Jesus, am always working. I never am taking a break. I'm never just resting. God is always working. Whether you perceive it or whether you feel it or not, he's always doing something. Last Friday, we also went out. And then the Friday before that, we're sharing the message with people, hoping to just engage people in spiritual conversations. You know, we just go up to them like, hey, just want to, we're doing this informal survey, you know, just spiritual survey. And you know what? Two Fridays ago, before we went out, you know, we talked about this. We're like, hey, what we're going to do next week, you know, 3 weeks ago, we're like, what we're going to do is we're going to meet for dinner at Rochester. We're going to go down, have a sub, and then we're going to go out and pray, and then we're going to talk with people with these surveys. And people are kind of like, I don't know. What if no one wants to talk to us? You know, what if no one says anything? They're like, what if people are like, we don't want to do a survey? What if people start talking to us, but they're like, we don't care about God. We just don't care, right? So what if we go there and nothing happens? But I shared with the group, like, look, you never know, right? Since we know that God the Father is always at work, since Jesus says, I am always working, you never know who God might put in front of you. You never know how God might be working. We can go out there, and what we need to do is just be faithful and go out, and you just never know who you'll bump into where God is, like, doing something in them. And it was true. Like we did go out. I remember we broke up into groups, and I'm like, hey, there's an older couple on a bench. Let's go over there and ask them. You know, and it's kind of like, I don't know, you guys, I'll be honest, it's kind of a stretch for me. You know, it's like just going up to a perfect stranger, you know, and most people, the reason we use surveys, you know, because most people just, if you just go up to someone and just start talking with them about God and stuff, they'll be like, who the heck are you? Like, you know, you just don't do that with people. You usually need a reason to come up with people. So that's why we're like, we just want to use the survey just to engage, just to know what people think and so forth. And so we went up to this couple, this elderly couple who was sitting on a bench, and we're like, hey, our church is doing an informal survey on spirituality. Would you, like, be interested in participating? And the woman, this is an elderly couple, she's like, we just are too old. We just don't want to think about deep stuff like that anymore. You know, we just don't want to talk about that stuff anymore. We're like, okay, you know, no problem. And, you know, so then you just go on to the next couple, you know. And I don't know. And so we kind of go from person to person. And actually, overall, people were pretty open to, like, talking to us. And last week, just this past Friday, after we kind of go out and just talk with the various people, we kind of come back together and just share, like, you know, hey, what did you experience? Did people shoo you away? Did people engage with you? Did people talk with you? Like, were you able to share about Christ with anyone? You know, what kind of conversations did you have with people? And, you know, and it was cool. Like, one pair kind of broke off into a park. You know, it's part of the problem with Rochester is that, there's some benches, but people are walking. And usually when people are walking, they're on their way to some place. They're, like, not interested and, like, they just want to get to where they're going. But this couple went off to a park that's nearby Rochester, and, like, engaged with a couple of girls, and she was like saying, "Oh, it was such a great interaction that we had with." She was an atheist, you know. She clearly said, "I don't believe in God," but she was like, she was engaging with us. She was open to us, and then she said that, you know, they talked with them for a little while, and then they kind of parted ways, and then she said, you know, and then we were talking with another couple, and then we noticed a bandana was on the ground, and we remembered it was this girl who we just talked to, so we picked up this bandana and, like, went back to her, and, like, we just had another conversation with her about, you know, she's like, just a great, just, you know, it wasn't like she started crying and became a Christian or anything like that, but she's like, it was just a really neat interaction that we had, and we felt like God was in it, you know, we felt like God was in it. And then a few years ago, you guys, because again, what I'm saying is that sometimes you just never know where God's at work. Since we know, based on Scripture, that He's always at work, He never stops. A few years back, we were doing something similar, and me and a guy named Mark Henderson, we were at a college campus, a community college, and, you know, we'd gone out, we'd, like, talk with people, engaged in some conversations, and we were ready to just go home. We're like, let's just go home. And we saw one guy sitting on the bench by himself. And we're like, well, let's just talk with this one last guy, you know. And so we go over to him, and we begin to talk with him, begin to share with him. He's this Korean guy. And after we get done sharing, we kind of go through the gospel. And we're like, and we're going through some scriptures with him. He's like, what do you think about this? You know, like, what are your thoughts? And he's like, actually, I've been thinking about this a ton. Like, I don't know why God seems to have worked. God seems to have worked majorly in South Korea. Like, I don't know, when I went to seminary, there was just a lot of Koreans at the seminary. Just God has His hand in that country, or has had His hand in that country. And I don't know if this guy has relatives who had been talking to him about the gospel before, but when we came to him, he was at the point where he's like, I feel like God is, he's like, I'm not a Christian yet, but I feel like God is talking to me. He's like, even when you come up to me, it is like God doesn't leave me alone. God does not leave me alone. I keep hearing God everywhere. And so, like, it's like that. It's like we had no idea where this guy was coming from, where his background would be, but he was like this. He was on the edge of becoming, of of knowing, and I feel like God has already called him. It's just a matter of time before this guy would come to know the Lord. So it's like, I tell, you know, when we go out, I'm like, you just never know. God is always working. He is always working. He's at work in our church, okay? You know, again, there's times when you're like, I just don't see God. I don't experience God. But he's at work in our church today, in this group. He's at work in people. We've, at least leading up to the baptism a few months ago, you know, we've heard Edmund, we heard Jason, we heard various people come up and share, you know, the story of how God had been working in their lives. And sometimes what it is, you guys, sometimes what it is that, you know, up until hearing the story, I didn't know that God was doing that in their lives. So sometimes it's like, it's great. We should have more sharing times where people can come up and have a chance to go, hey, this is what God is doing in my life, you know? Because had I not had Edmund come up or you know, or Jason come up or any of the other come up, we would never have known that God was doing. Is he out there? Is he real? Is he authentic? Is he alive? Is it a living God or is it a God that we read on the page? We have to begin to move from how can God work in my life to accomplish what I want to God, show me where you're working. I want to see where you're working. I want to see you. Show me where you're working. Okay? Let's look at a story about this truth in the Bible. If you flip back to Exodus, so go from John and flip all the way back to the beginning to Exodus 2. Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25. Exodus 2, 23 through 25 says, During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked down on the Israelites and was concerned about them. All right? So remember, this is leading up to this. God hasn't appeared. I mean, you can look down maybe in chapter 3, and maybe there's like a little title there. This is Moses in the burning bush or something like that. God hasn't appeared to Moses yet. He hasn't gone to Moses and said, look, Moses, I'm telling you now that I want to bring my people out of slavery. He hasn't even communicated this with Moses yet. But already, he heard. So right now Moses is working everywhere, you guys. He's working everywhere, right? God's at work in the world. God's at work in China, you know? Like,
shaping Moses, doing something that's not necessarily reported in here.
But he's just still, for him, Moses is still just status quo, but God heard the people's cry. And he's like, I'm gonna do some work here. I'm gonna free these people. And part of his work was also based on his covenant with Abraham. He tells Abraham back in Genesis 12, he says, Abraham, go ahead and just leave your country. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And he says, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So it's like part of what God is doing is he's working on two levels here. He's working on two levels. One, he's working on a real-time level of like, hey, I hear my people, and I'm going to free them. I love my people, and I'm going to get to work and freeing them. And on a second level, he's like, look, I told Abraham, I made a promise to him that through him, that the nations would be blessed. The nations would be blessed. And that's ultimately through Abraham, through his line would be the Messiah. And through the Messiah, we're experiencing more and more freedom spiritually. You know, we're experiencing freedom in the gospel, right? So God's working on two levels here. He's working with the people to bring them out of slavery, and he's also working in this big plan of like going, hey, in order for this blessing to come upon the nations, I'm going to need to get these folks out of Egypt and into the promised land, to this new land that I've promised them. So it's the same with us. God has something like that he's working on a larger level, and he's working with us. And you just never know what God is working and planning right now. Right now for you.